But suffering is part of life. And as much as we don't want love, suffering, it's there. And so when you encounter all types of suffering, God's grace enables you, strengthens you to go through that suffering. And sometimes you overcome it, but often we endure suffering.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, October 6th, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Growing in Grace and Knowledge, and our text comes to us from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
The Lord Jesus had 12 apostles, and one of them failed miserably, Judas. But the remaining 11 were faithful to Christ, and later on, Paul was added to the 12, though he was the apostle to the Gentiles. But one of the great apostles was Peter, and I know that we've heard about Peter as Jeff has brought to us 1 and 2 Peter in a very remarkable and good way. But Peter was the one that was the weakest of them all. He was a big mouth. He always opened his, you know, said things he should have said, and he was cumbersome. He was always saying, I will never deny you, and he denied the Lord. And, you know, in other words, he was just like one of us, that we meet well, but sometimes we just don't make it. And so as Peter ends his epistle, that will be our text for this morning in remembrance of the Lord, he says that there's something that needs to happen to every Christian, and he proved it himself, because he said, chapter 3, verse 18, let's see it up there. But what? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be both glory now and forever. Amen. Let's say it all together. We can read it together. But grow
in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen.
This is Peter telling us to mature, to develop, to move on with our lives, not to settle for what we have right now. This is a wonderful scripture for us as we enter into communion, because the Lord is calling us to spiritual maturity, a maturity that comes as we understand who Jesus is in our lives. You and I are called to grow, and Peter understood this, and boy, did he grow. We're called to grow, and we're not called to remain static. We're not called to remain where we are in our faith, because the Christian life is a journey. It's a real journey. It's a journey, but it's a journey of continual growth. Every day we grow, and we grow in two things. We grow in grace, because it's our experience of God's favor towards us without earning anything, and it's in knowledge, our understanding of who God is and how he works in our lives. So the admonition this morning is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This exhortation that comes in Peter's final words to all of us challenges you and me not to become complacent, but to keep maturing in grace and knowledge until we fully reflect Christ in our lives. And I think we have a long way to go. None of us have reached that goal. We will reach that goal when we are in his presence. So let's talk about what it means to grow in grace and what it means to grow in knowledge. It's very simple, but very much to our hearts. Because growing in grace means to experience more of God's love in your life, God's favor in your life, more of his love, and also to experience his power in our daily life. God's grace is his enabling strength upon you. It is how God displaces himself in you, how you see God active in your life, how you see God moving in your affairs. God's grace. Bishop William Wilmington described grace as follows. He says, the power of God at work in you to give you a transformed life, a life that changes and progresses from grace to grace, from glory to glory. You're not stuck. You're growing. You're moving. You're going through a life-changing cycle that keeps coming every time that you wake up in the morning. His mercies are new every morning, but he's always working in your life. He says, this same bishop says, we experience three types of grace in your life and in my life, and this is true. The first one is called preventive grace, which is God working in your life before you even knew him. Did you know that God knew you before you knew him? Did you know that God knows all about your life? God's prevenient grace means that he was there with you before you even knew that he was there. God has watched over your life and my life before we came to him. And he knows all about us, prevenient grace. Then it's called justifying grace. That's when you come to Christ and you know that the Lord has taken away your sins and God's grace has justified you. Your sins have been taken away. Your sins are gone. And then, which is our text this morning, is called sanctifying grace. In other words, what God is doing in your everyday life as you submit to him. And this is what this message is about. That grace is not a one-time experience saved by grace. It is something that continually transforms you and me as we live out our faith. God gives us grace. He giveth more grace. How many need more grace? I mean, I need grace all the time because I encounter obstacles, and sometimes the obstacle is me. God gives us grace to move on. So may we just simply say that God's grace is active and not passive. That it's not just like, okay, I was saved by grace, now everything is... No, there's an activity of God in your life. And that activity helps you to overcome sin in your life. The sin that Hebrews says so easily beset us. You know, we don't like to say this, but it's the truth. We all have certain tendencies to do wrong. And that sin is the one that the Bible talks about, the besetting sin. But God's grace is such that he equips you, he strengthens you to overcome that sin in life. But more than that, this grace that God gives to you and to me helps you, something very remarkable, to endure and sometimes deliver from pain. We live in a society where many promises a Christian life without pain. And there's, in Spanish, there's a whole movement called Pare de Sufrir, stop suffering. But suffering is part of life. And as much as we don't want suffering, it's there. And so when you encounter all types of suffering, God's grace enables you, strengthens you to go through that suffering. And sometimes you overcome it, but often we endure suffering in our lives. God's grace also, see how important this is? God's grace also helps you to walk in obedience with him. When God indicates what you need to do and how you need to do it, he helps you to do that. So growing in grace means learning to depend more on God's strength than our own. Sounds silly, but no. Depending on the Lord to help us overcome the things that certainly we can't. Now, I don't want to trivialize this, but I mean, in the morning you get up and you have to overcome a couple of things. First of all, get out of bed, right? We're talking about the big issues, okay? We're talking about those big issues in life. We're talking about those things that you need God's strength to overcome. So God's grace is active in the issues of your life. So how do we grow practically? How do we do this? Well, I think that prayer and dependence on God has to be your slogan in your life. And you do so by humbling yourself before God in prayer. By saying, Lord, I can't really do this. So I come before you, Lord, with a humble heart for your strength. And that is when we experience more of his grace. It is when we come to God with attitudes of complaining and screaming and yelling, and it's when we humbly said, Lord, I need help because I can't handle this anymore. So the idea of prayer and dependence of God in the midst of a difficult moment, I think that's one of the ways in which we grow in grace. Another way to do it is when you serve others, when you serve others selfishly, when you go out of your way to help people who are in need, because it reflects the kindness and the love of God that you and I have received from Him. We need to have a generous heart. We need to be able to see how we can help others that can't help themselves, because you will be God's extended arm, God's extended strength, God's love through you. And when you do that, you grow in grace. It's always been my experience that when I visit a hospital, and I hope I don't do that often, but when I do that and I visit the hospitals with some of you in bed and we pray, I know the Lord touches you, but He touches me more. And I walk out of those pastoral moments and visitations strengthened in ways in which I cannot imagine. Because it's when you give of yourself and you care for others, God blesses you back and you feel His grace and His strength. So prayer and dependence of God and serving others are two ways in which you can really grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more, and that is when you forgive and you have patience with people. Ooh, that's a hard one. How many know it's hard to forgive those people who don't want to be forgiven? So I have learned to live with those who don't want to be forgiven. In my heart, I forgive them, but I know they're not forgiven until they ask for forgiveness. I don't know if that's a little bit of a consolation to you, but it's true. Because Jesus says, if someone does something wrong to you, rebuke them. And if He says, I'm sorry, then forgive them. So you rebuke people by living the life, by serving God, by not doing what is negative, but doing what is positive. So you need to have a heart that forgives others, because you're then extending grace. Extending grace. And you do that in moments of conflict and in moments of people being hurt. And that's how people are able to catch God's love. And you grow because you are forgiving people and you having patience towards them. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Thank you, church. I appreciate that. Very good. Well, let me illustrate this by saying, think of a tree. And the roots represent grace. Unseen, the truth, the roots are not seen, but they're essential for the growth of the tree. Without deep roots in grace, the tree cannot grow tall, cannot bear fruit, and cannot withstand storms. So the Christian, you and I, we have to be rooted in grace if we are to grow strong and in the faith. So my concern for you this morning is that you will weigh in your life and see where you are and say, you know what? This is an occasion for me to grow in grace, because I certainly need His grace in my life. So the issues that you're facing today, God's grace is more than sufficient to tackle it. You must acknowledge His grace in your life so that things can be resolved. But then it says to grow in knowledge. What does it mean to grow in knowledge? Well, knowledge is not just intellectual understanding, though there's a part of that. But in reality, when it talks about knowledge in the scriptures in this context, it talks about intimacy. It talks about an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It is about knowing Jesus personally, getting to know who Jesus is, and getting to understand how much He really cares and loves us. I get to understand His character. I get to understand His will. I get to understand His ways. This is how that knowledge transforms my life. So when it talks about growing in the knowledge, it speaks about me being intimate with the Lord and learning from Him through the pages of Scripture how I should react and be. Because there's a chorus we sing, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like Him. except I don't want to forgive anybody. You can't do that. To be like Jesus is to be like him, to see him in action. And the more that you know Christ, the more that you can trust him. The more that you know Christ, it helps you cope with the issues that God can only resolve. And you say, this is how God answers prayer. This is how I make wise decisions. This is how I navigate through challenges in my life. And this is how I grow in spiritual discernment. A mouthful, for sure. But may I assure you that growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ will give you a grasp of the person of Jesus Christ, and he is invincible. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He was crucified, and he rose again. I mean, there is nothing that Christ is not able to give to you that you need today. Knowing him. So how do I get to know him? Well, a couple of ways. I guess the first one is very obvious, by studying God's word. You got to get into God's word, because the Bible is the source that will reveal who Jesus is. You will find his promises. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And that's a statement of fact. You get to know the Lord in such a way that all things are possible to him that believe. The study of Scripture reveals the person of Jesus Christ, and this is how you get that knowledge, that intimacy with the Lord. We grow in awe and reverence. We understand that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and there's something that happens to you when you meet someone of great importance, and meeting Christ in the Scriptures will transform you completely, because it's more than just knowledge in your brain. It is knowledge in your whole body, in your whole being. You get to worship him, because that's the second thing. We study the Scriptures, and then we worship and meditate in him. Because when you reflect and you look at the pages of Scripture to see who God really is, you really wake up to the tremendous opportunity of getting to know someone so crucial, so important, he's the creator of heaven. He made us. We did not make ourselves. He knows all about us, and he's inviting us for us to know him intimately, personally. And this goes to something very important in your life and my life, and that is that when you worship the Lord and you meditate in his word, you develop certain attitudes and certain behaviors that causes you to hear God's voice clearly. God is speaking all the time. He speaks through the pages of Scripture, but he also speaks to you inwardly. I want you to know that God continues to speak to you and to me to this very day. As you read Scripture, as you're meditating his word, he speaks to you. And you need to learn how to discern God's voice from your own thoughts. There's a unique voice of God that can come to you and can speak to you, and you say, that is God. If you wake up in the morning, here we go again, we're waking up in the morning, and you hear a voice saying, brush your teeth, that's not God. It might be for some of you, but it's not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God speaking to you intimately in a personal level, where he drops a word, a concept, a thought, and you say, where did that come from? It's the Lord that speaks to you, because you are growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this unbelievable relationship that you are developing with him. And by the way, he speaks to me in Spanish, and he speaks to me in English, because God is bilingual. But that's another story altogether. He speaks to your heart. Amen. And that's how you grow in knowledge. So it's not so much what I think. It's how I understand God in my life. How close he is to me. You know, when I have to go to meetings, I say, Lord, I'm going into a meeting. Now, please guide my speech. Please give me insight. And I'm telling you, sometimes the Lord says to me, don't say a word. And then I say a word, and I get into all kinds of trouble. There is a voice of God that guides us and shows us, if we would just to pay attention. Of course, common sense, but also there's a voice of God that guides you and directs you in an intimate way. Because that is knowledge. Knowledge of God means an intimate relation with the Lord where he speaks to you. And so we study the scripture, we worship, we meditate, we listen to God's voice. But there's also something else that I need to say. And I pray that as we continue to progress together and we look at the months and maybe a couple of years to come, that we will just develop here in our church a profound and very direct discipleship and teaching program, where we will begin to learn from others in ways in which we have never done before. I think there needs to be an opportunity for you to be part of a group that grows in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that through specific teachings, just to women, just to men, just to youth, just to children, and then to the whole congregation, that we will be able to see how God works in our own respective lives, in our own groups, in our own concerns. But regardless of it, you and I need to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to find ways in which we can be mentored and how we can have fellowship and how we can expand the knowledge of Christ by sharing what God is doing in our lives. Years and 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 years. Well, not so many years, but years ago. In our churches, we used to have what's called testimonies. And some of them were great and some of them were embarrassing, but it's okay. It's fine. But people would stand up and would say, this is what the Lord did. And everybody would listen, you know, and we would try to limit that to 2 minutes, but it was always 5 minutes or 7 minutes. And some of us were just saying, oh, I wish I had never known that. But I mean, people would stand up and share what God was doing in their lives. I think there needs to be ways in which we can share with one another in more than just a service like this, that we can have small groups throughout the church. I know that Jeff is doing this with the men on Zoom twice a month, and it's wonderful, where you can share what God is doing in your life with others. Because I think that is part of the discipleship, and that is part of the growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine to illustrate this relationship with a friend. And the longer you spend time with that friend, listening to that friend and learning about them, the deeper your commitment and connection grows. And there are people here who will be friends forever and ever. I have friends that I've known for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. I'm going to stop right there. But for many years, and it's a connection. And it's not that you have to be together every single day, but maybe every 6 months you talk to this person, and it's over a year, and you talk, and it's like time never passed. There's that friendship. And that friendship needs to be with people of God. And this is what I like to say. When we have that relationship with Christ, the more time that we spend with him, the deeper our connections with him. So I encourage you to do that. Let me just draw one more analysis, and then we'll go into communion today. And that's the importance, brothers and sisters, to do a balance between grace and knowledge. We have to allow grace and knowledge to grow together, not separately. Because if we grow only in knowledge, we risk becoming prideful and legalistic. Oh, we should have a guy like that. Well, I'm sure that this person is grown now, but this person is not in church anymore and not being here for a while. It was very legalistic. He could quote you every chapter and verse. But there was very little grace in him. He had knowledge, but did not have grace. He could quote, he could cite, he could rebuke you, he could, oh my goodness, you know. When you see these guys, you know, he may be scripturally right, but he is just dreadful. And people run away from him, and you said, nobody wants to hear the word of God. No, we want to hear the word of God, just not through your lips, you know. So we can become so legalistic and so narrow-minded, I know what scripture says, you know. That's people who sometimes grow in knowledge, and they forget that knowledge is not head knowledge, but it's intimacy with the Lord, and the Lord never spoke like that. But if we grow only in grace without knowledge, we become shallow in our understanding. We become shallow in the understanding of God and his truth. I remember one time addressing an issue that was going on with a pastor, which was pretty bad. So I went to those who were in charge of doing something about this poor man who was doing things that were wrong, needed help, needed deliverance. And I was told, well, Lord, let God's grace will take care of it. Leave it like it is. And so it was left like it was, and the whole church went down hills. So you cannot just have grace, and you can only just have knowledge. You have to blend them together. Both have to work together. And Jesus is that perfect balance of grace and truth. Read John 1:14. He came and gave us that balance of grace and truth. And he calls us to follow his example, that we should reflect this fullness to the world, that we have this intimacy with God, and we have the word, we have our hearts set on him. And so we speak the truth in love. So a healthy Christian, and I hope that all of us would want this to be our experience, is marked, or should be marked, I must be marked, by a deep experience of how God works in our life and how he transforms us, coupled with the knowledge of who Christ is and how he shapes our life as well. A knowledge of his grace, God's working in my life. Regardless of where you are today, and regardless of the issue you face, God's grace is sufficient. And when things run out, James says, but he giveth more grace. There is no limit to the grace that is available to you. And that means God is active. And God allows you to live in that context of difficulty by giving you the strength that is needed to overcome the problem you're facing. No matter what. No matter what. Because you are where you are by God's design in your life. And God allows you and me to go through issues that sometimes are questionable. But it's God's grace is there. And God's grace is enough, more than enough, to sustain you. And if you have doubts about that, then you need to go into the knowledge of Christ and understand that his knowledge will cause you to see his power and his ability to move through the most difficult obstacles of life. He will defy anything that comes to you. Even a tempest at sea with everything roaring and moving, ready to sink your boat, and it's just not going to happen because I'm here. And no boat has ever sunk when Jesus is in it. Jesus is the one who takes care of you. So may I ask you, as a final question before we prepare our hearts for communion, it's very simple. Are you growing in grace and in knowledge? What areas of my life do I need more of God's grace? I'm telling you, God's grace is there. It's there. And secondly, how can you deepen your understanding of who Jesus is? See, it's not just coasting. It's not just getting by. We're called to intentional growth. And the issues you face today, the problems that we face together, are there so that you and I can grow in God's grace and in the understanding of who he is in our lives. So it's not an optional thing, brothers and sisters. It's part of the Christian life to grow. It's not just a suggestion. It's a command, and it's a calling. Every day we should be seeking to know Jesus more deeply and experience his grace more fully every single day. And as you and I grow, we will reflect more of Christ to a world around us. And you will become stronger in the faith. Yes, you will. And you will be better equipped to face the challenges that come your way. And you will be more effective in loving others. What could be better than growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? That ought to be our goal. So that grace and knowledge will grow. And that we may glorify the Lord in everything that we do. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your grace. Grace that you've given us through Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I pray this Sunday morning that you will help us to grow in that grace, to rely on it more every day, and to reflect it in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would give us a hunger to know you more, to grow in wisdom and understanding, and to live lives that are pleasing to you. O Lord Jesus, we bring to you the conflicts of our heart, the difficulty of our life, the stages we're going through, the unanswered questions, the difficulties that we face. And I'm asking you, Lord, we're asking you, Lord, that you will help us to use the issues in our life today that we may grow both in grace and knowledge. Lord, we want to bring you all the glory and all the praise. And as we navigate to issues that are difficult, we're counting on your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Lord. Amen. Amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You know, Jesus, the Lord is so wonderful to you and to me. Words are beyond description. So in the Old Testament, I mention this every Sunday morning, but in the Old Testament, the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, I want you to put this blessing on my people. Now think of it. God wants to bless you. He doesn't want to put you down. You're going through so much. Know that God is your ally and that God is for you, not against you, no matter what. So this is the blessing mandated by God to Aaron to put upon God's people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you. That was God looking at you and you looking at him. And he says, and give you peace. That's the God we serve. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in the day that the Lord has made. God bless you. Amen. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.